Hi, hello, how are you? I'm trying out this new recording feature that Anchor has. I guess it's with Riverside, and it was like, do you want to also record a video? And I was like, no. And then it showed me myself on my video, and I was like, hard no. Welcome to Something About, a podcast where we are currently covering the current season of Death and Other Details. We are on chapter 5. All episodes are available on Hulu. I'm just going to give a spoiler warning now. If you have not watched it and you're going to listen to this, you might be a little confused. I don't go into super detail. I was going to not do as many detailed notes as I usually do for only murders in the building, but who are we kidding? That's what I've done. And here we are. But we are on chapter 5 called Exquisite. And I'm not gonna lie, when I first watched it, I didn't fully pay attention. So the second time I watched it and took notes, I saw a lot more than I thought I did Tuesday morning at 4 a.m. when I watched it while doing a workout. And yes, I get up very early because I don't want to do it after work. But here we are. Again, I noticed more things the second time watching it than I did the first time, but I was also paying more attention because I wasn't attempting to like deadlift or curl anything or like ride a bike as fast as I can for 1 mile, which isn't always the case. Sometimes I leisurely do it for 1 mile, but that's not the point. Again, chapter 5 is titled Exquisite. Final warning, spoiler warning alert. We see Anna sleeping in bed, and Layla is looking at her, and we hear Rufus say, "Reader, I haven't been entirely honest." And we see Layla leaving her room. This was 2 nights ago, the night of the murder. See, when Danny and I embarked on this journey, we did so on a hunch. A sloppy one, a last-ditch effort to rescue my wounded pride. We'd no idea we were so close. Layla is actually meeting Danny in like the lounge desk area. Rufus continues, "We'd no idea we were so close." Danny looks at Layla and tells her he had never been made like that before. She asks if he was following her. And he introduces himself. The Chuns hired him and Rufus to do due diligence on the family, the Collier family. She mentions Coatsworth. This is where we find out she is a clickbait writer. And Danny points out, "Well, you went to school for journalism." And she goes on to tell him she was writing a real story when she met her wife. And he asks if Anna was the mark and, use her as a wedge to get the dirt on her family. And Danny then concludes that he thinks that is how what they found out, which led to her accident. And Layla clears it like, no, I was researching something else. They were never the targets. They were actually the victims. And she mentions that he's always listening, he being Victor Sams. Layla warned him that, this could lead to Danny's death, as we saw it did. And, Rufus believes her, and the Colliers are victims of blackmail of Captain Blue, that receipt from like, what was it, the second episode that they found in like the vast briefcases filled with paperwork. And Layla doesn't know what the blackmail was. She also doesn't want to know, and she won't Rufus won't stop till he finds out because he believes that this is also linked to Imogen's mother's murder. We are now with Imogen and Sunil. They're on a dock. And a man approaches them and asks where the French one is. Imogen tells this gentleman he couldn't make it. She says, "Vive Zidane." That it's like a code phrase or code word she has to give the man. And she pays him. And he's like, okay, whatever. Like, she has a code word. She has the money. I'm going to assume she is working with Jules. She tells Yeva goodbye. And she does not think that she'll ever see her again. And you can see on Imogen's face, she just hopes for the best. She hopes she's made the right decision. She's hoped she's done the best she could. And Sunil's like, of course you did. Why would you say that? And she's like, because I've lost touch with giving a fuck. And that's probably because since her mother's murder, she doesn't really care anymore because she's lost, like, the only person she probably truly ever loved, which was her mother. She goes on to say she's tired of trying to solve a murder of a guy to solve her mom's murder. And she's also tired because she's been lying to her best friend. And she mentions the receipt, the blue receipt, and how, you know, it probably means nothing. And she hates herself for helping Rufus. And, like, just, it's all been accumulating and she is tired. Which reminds Sunil that he knows a forensic accountant who could probably help with the receipt and, like, what it means. But the only issue is they'd have to stay the night. And so she gives him a look like, okay. So they enter this hotel. He speaks Italian. The gentleman speaks Italian back and then comes back with some keys. And it looks like they probably made a pit stop beforehand to, like, get clothes for the next day because she's carrying some bags. And so he takes her up just a couple sets of stairs. They get to the rooms. He hands her a key. And she looks at him questioning, and he got separate rooms for them. Like, I know who you are. You know who I am. But, like, we're going to sleep in separate rooms. I'm a gentleman. And now we're back on the boat, and we see Rufus go to the, like, in-boat jail cells, in-house, in-boat. He goes to the jail cells that are located on the boat. And he goes to talk to Winnie, and he tells her, you know, she's middle class, but with street smarts, and she is running from who she is. And, you know, she's always going to be in her sister's shadow. She's a rebel trapped by society's grip, and she was very easy to recruit. And who recruited her? Victor Sams. And Rufus just wants to know what he promised Winnie. And Winnie admits to, like, most of it. Like, yeah, you're not wrong about really any of that. But who is Victor Sams? She doesn't know who that is, which has Rufus scratching his head. We now see Alexandria, the governor of Washington, confront Tripp. And it's about the emails, the very saucy emails that she got. And she thinks it was Catherine, his mom, like, you know, blackmail. And she tells Tripp that he does not know what his own family is capable of, because Tripp is kind of dumb. Let's be real. Like, we get that vibe from him. And he has no idea what she's talking about. He doesn't know who would want to, like, follow him. And she is just trying to get the information out of him, because this could ruin her. This could ruin her career. And he looks at her and asks her if she is blaming him for retrograde gender dynamics. And she's like, yeah, kind of, I am. He tells her he promises he will look into it. And he's kind of looking at her like he finds her yelling at him and telling him all this stuff kind of hot. And he is turned on. Again, he's turned on by it. So what do? They have sex. And you think she would learn the first time that, like, maybe, I don't know where they would do it without a camera. because as we see, there are cameras all over the place, not just the security ones, but the ones that have been implanted into other people's rooms. We now see Anna and Eleanor in the aftermath of their affair that we saw at the end of the last episode. And Anna looks at Eleanor and says, like, this never happened. Like, this can't happen. Because Anna is married and she loves her wife, apparently. Allegedly. Layla is looking for her. And she's back in her room. Layla finds her. It looks like Anna was just taking a shower to wash away all her sins that she committed. Because whether or not you believe in a god, when you take that vow of marriage, that vow is to be with just you. Unless you have an open relationship, that's not what feels like happened here. And so Anna's coming from a shower. Layla was looking for her. And she's telling Anna, we need to get off this boat. It's like unsafe. We can't do this. And Anna's like, why? And Layla's like, we just need to leave. And Anna's like, well, we can't. I got a deal to close. And like, why do you feel unsafe? Just tell me. And, you know, Layla has tried and Anna's not believing her. And she's like, but what are you unsafe of? What are we unsafe of? And in this moment, we get another flashback to 6 months prior. Layla is talking to a gentleman. She tells him she left like her recording device in the car, like, you are fine. And he's like, I don't want you to use my name. You can't use my name. And this is because he was a former NSA agent for 19 years. And he had started to look into Victor Sams. And Victor Sams has ears everywhere. And he noticed a lot of regular payments, crypto payments. And whenever he would go to his boss to ask about Victor Sams, he would just get shut down. And every time he went to go look into it, he couldn't tell if it was one guy or a group of college kids that were tracking him. And he realizes as he's doing all these deep dives, he's getting fucked over pretty much. So his hard drive ends up being loaded with porn, which causes his wife to leave him. He gets fired from his jobs. His kids want nothing to do with him and won't talk to him because they think he's a sick freak. And that was because every time he traced him, he noticed the tracking went from place to place to place all over the world. And he's like borderline about to lose his place. He can't get a job. It's just, he doesn't like it. And he tells Layla he is untraceable because he is everywhere and yet nowhere all at once. We find out that the gentleman's name is Peter Meadow. Layla thanks him for his time and, like, promises, you know, I'm going to figure this out. You're going to be safe. All will be well. And she's driving home and she's, like, driving while doing work on her phone, which, like, we've probably all done and we know we shouldn't do. But she's, like, actively recording stuff, like, similar to voice notes. And as she's doing this, her car starts glitching and bugging out, telling her to drive straight. And she's like, well, duh. And then it's telling her to drive straight. And she's like, I can't. The road isn't straight. Like, she needs to follow the road. And the car starts speeding up. The screen, like her navigation screen, starts like flickering on and off. And it just, it goes over the edge. And that is the accident that we have heard of. We are back in what is the present time. Anna just like won't believe her because Layla doesn't want to talk about it. And she tells her like the waitress is following orders and she won't say his name. And Anna's like, what are you talking about? And she just looks at Layla and goes, well, why don't we call your doctor in the morning. As in, like, she's spiraling. Let's talk the doctor to talk you off the edge. Which I half understand because, like, she has had this brain injury. Maybe it is related to that. But also, like, she is your wife. I would think you'd want to believe her somewhat. And with everything that's going on the ship, I think I too would want to leave. Yeah, we got a deal going, but, like, a dude was murdered. But whatever. Rufus is standing on, like, the upper deck with, like, the pool and where the bar area is. And he's just looking over at all the people. He sees Agent Hilda Erickson. She's relaxing. She's like, well, I've gotten the paperwork done, and Interpol doesn't mean me right now. Agent Fredrickson is fine with it. Like, I'm going to relax the last couple days of this cruise. She tells him that, you know, he too should enjoy his time left on the boat. And he's just like, okay. Like, I don't think he's fully going to tell her what he knows until he knows it. So he goes to the bar and gets a cocktail. Something was whiskey in it. I don't know. I did not write it down. Catherine sees him at the bar and comes up and just starts chatting with him. And she pretty much just kind of goes off on him. She's like, I know all your tricks. I know you're working an angle, which is really funny because in my notes I wrote angel, but I know what I mean. And, you know, whatever the chuns are paying you, it is far too much. And he mentions the name Victor Sams, and she looks at him and is like, you can't give that up. It's a goose chase. And Rufus tries to tell her that he is real. And Catherine then counter tells him, like, it's been 18 years. Wouldn't you have caught him by now? And she goes on to tell him that he is no gentleman. He's hardly a man at all for everything he's, like, doing on the boat right now. And he kind of gives her a very dirty look, and he takes his little, like, sip of tea, it looks like, and then he starts drinking his drink, because that's probably what put him right over the edge. We see Toby. He's walking on deck, and his son Derek is, like, talking on his phone to his TikTok followers, and he sees Celia, Grandma Chen there, and he goes to sit down, and they're talking, and he's talking about his son Derek and his growing TikTok following, and he's worried about Derek with his TikTok following, but he's also glad because it's a means to, like, possibly deal with his mother's death, and he's, like, good at it, I guess. And he instills that he is a family man. Or she tells him, you know, oh, you're such a family man. And he looks at Cecilia and tells her, like, I got you what you wanted. Like, you need to stop and leave me alone. And we see Anna now. She's talking with Llewellyn. And, you know, they should have anticipated this. And Anna's like, what, a murder? Like, how can we anticipate a murder? And, you know, Anna's like, I got the chuns back on the table. Because she slept with Eleanor. And Llewellyn is like, but this new deal is a clusterfuck. And, you know, he tells her there's a board meeting today in your father's room. And she's like, no, I can handle it. He's like, there's a board meeting in your father's room. He wanted it. We're going. And she sees Eleanor kind of just, like, soaking in the pool. All this happens on the pool deck. And there's, like, awkward looks at each other because they can't speak of it. But you can still feel the feelings are there. And as we know, Eleanor left Anna. Anna married Layla. So there are definitely deep-seated feelings between these two. We see Llewellyn approach Hilda and sit down next to her. And he tells her that, you know, he likes being punished. And Hilda's like, oh, you like being punished? By, like, who? And he's like, it depends on who's punishing me. It's why I like it. There's tension there. I kind of like those two together. I like Hilda and Llewellyn together. I think they're both serious in different ways that, you know, it could work. We're back with Imogen and Sunil. It's the next day. They're meeting for breakfast. And she wants to go and meet his contact. And he's like, here's the thing. We can't meet her till 5 p.m. So, like, we're just going to have to spend this whole day together on the island. And he does reassure Imogen that if his contact can't figure it out, no one can. So it'll be worth the wait, I promise you. So they're walking around Malta, and Sunil is giving her the history of the island. And they stop at a church, and I believe it's a church of St. George. And she has to put a shawl on because her, like, shoulders are showing. And probably have to do that in a fancy Catholic church. I don't know, I'm not Catholic, and I don't really go to church, so what do I know? And there is a painting of the beheading of John the Baptist, and they are looking at it, talking about it, and the painter there used real civilians and captured their emotions, and, like, he painted it for the church, and what did the church do when he was done painting it? They kicked him out. And as they're talking about the painting and how it relates to, like, them and their plight, Imogen looks over her shoulder and she sees a gentleman in a white suit. We are back on the boat. We are back in the cell room. Jules is in his cell and he's just, like, throwing a ball against the wall. And Teddy approaches him and tells him the family has made it. Like, they are safe. They got off the boat. They're in Malta. And after they're on their next destination. We don't know. And he looks at Teddy and he likes how she looks. Like, she looks relaxed. You can tell. She's got, like, cute little bangs. She is not dressed in, like, a tight little dress. She is wearing, like, nice slacks, a nice top, and, like, a cardigan. She is definitely much, again, she is relaxed and you can tell. And Jules likes this side of her. She admits, well, like, we were both wearing masks to show who we were. And I think Teddy and Jules would be kind of a cute couple, not gonna lie. After she's done with Jules, she goes to see her sister. And, you know, her sister's like, you shouldn't be here. And Teddy is pleading with Winnie to tell the truth. Tell the truth about Victor, about being brainwashed. And Winnie tells Teddy, you're the one that's brainwashed. And Teddy is confused as to, like, what does she mean? And she goes, you know, they paid for your fancy education. All for you to what? Clean up after them. And she goes, she did it for the family. I did it for all of you. And Winnie slaps her. And Teddy tells Winnie, you know, when you are ready to talk, I am here to listen. And I still care about you. Because that's her sister. Like, I think for the most part, siblings will always love their other siblings to, you know, forever and always, regardless of what is done. I'm sure there are defining things. There are fucked up things. I think we could not forgive anyone, but she killed a gentleman that neither of them knew. And it's because her sister was brainwashed. So, like, she loves her sister because she knows that's not her sister. This is not how Winnie usually acts. We now see Simon and Teddy talking, and it looks like they're in Simon's room and they're talking about her sister and how they could possibly help her. And she asks Simon, are you one of them? And he's like, what? And she's like, never mind. If I ask you that and you're not answering me, no. Do we really know? I do not think we do. She asks Simon if everyone hates her. And he tells her in Mandarin, possibly. They're not speaking English. I'm going to say Mandarin. He tells her, for today, not forever. So they hate you right now, but it's not going to last. Like, it will get better. Just trust me. We now see Anna, and she's talking, and we realize she is chatting with her mother about why she's still married to Dad. Like, it's not for money. You know, there is no prenup. You'd be fine. Why are you still together with him? You have not loved him in years, and it's pretty much obvious. And Catherine tells her daughter, she made a promise to protect this family. And Anna's like, doesn't believe that. And Catherine goes on to say, she made a promise, but at some point you look up and you're just shocked to see a stranger. I think something is up with Lawrence Collier. Alzheimer's, maybe, dementia, he's dying. Something is wrong if she is not recognizing him as the man she once was in love with and was married to. And she goes on to say, building a life together was easy, but taking it apart will not be as easy. So it sounds like she's staying married because it's easier to do. I mean, her kids are grown, so, like, hypothetically, yeah, at this point, like, they're just married because they're married. Maybe it's open relationship. We don't know. We now see Anna with Layla, and her doctor is on, like, Zoom, Skype, whatever you want to call it. And he's going on about, like, a bird and it being pretty. It's weird. And they go on to talk about how her accident, it is still very fresh. And, you know, they should be very understanding. And Anna goes on to tell Layla, like, you don't, I believe you, but I've also never called you crazy. And Layla just slaps the laptop shut because the doctor is being of no use here. And Layla is just telling Anna she wants to be taken seriously. And, you know, you were taking me seriously as a writer until the accident, and now it's all out the window. And Anna is trying to explain herself and, you know, we need to relax on this trip. I'm so sorry. I've not been here. I've been focused on other things, Eleanor. And when this deal goes through, things will get better. And she secretly loves Eleanor. And as she's talking, Layla just kind of says she wants a divorce. And Anna's like, no, we can work through this. And Layla stops her and tells her, like, just go and work on the deal. Because obviously this deal with the Chuns is more important than what I'm trying to tell you. So if that's what you're going to do, just go and do it. And they kind of leave it at that. We now see Trip walking on one of the various decks of this fucking boat. I don't know how many decks there are. There's like A, B, C, D. I don't. They're walking on a deck and he's chatting with his friend. And he's chatting about the deal that fell through with Keith. And Keith was on the line for $2.9 million. I don't know what that means. And he tells his friend Brad that he didn't want to go to him because they are friends. And Brad's like, no, you didn't want to go to me because of my father's a lawyer. And he's like, no, it's not. He goes, you didn't go to me. And Trip, I guess, admits something happened between him and Brad's sister. Something like that. I didn't fully write it down because it didn't seem that important. Let's be real. It probably will be in the end. Whatever. It's probably like Brad's sister that did all this. Who knows? And he didn't want to go to his friends, but Brad proposes a deal for him. He says, I will go in for $1 million if you go in for $1 million. And, like, you have a trust, so just, like, go to your trust, get $1 million out, and, like, I'll do the same. So Trip was like, all right, bet. I'll go and do that. So he goes to his father, and his father's like, you were late for the board meeting. And Trip's like, there was a board meeting? So he missed the board meeting, and It's finished. They didn't really need him. And he asks his father about the trust. And his father's like, what trust? He goes, my trust. And he goes, oh, you have to talk to Charlie about that, the family accountant. And he goes, why? It's my money. And Lawrence tells him it's family money. Like, it's not your money. And the fact that you think it's your money just goes to show why he was not put in charge of the family business. And Tripp then asks about the governor of Washington, and are you blackmailing her? And Lawrence is kind of cool, calm, and collective, but also angry. And Tripp goes, fine, I'll call Charles, whatever. And Lawrence just kicks him out of the room. Tripp is in Tripland. We now are back on the island of Malta with Sunil, and he's playing soccer with some of the kids, and he's showing off. And Imogen tells him that, like, this seems perfect and very rehearsed. And he then admits that he is broke. He has no money. He has sunk it all. I don't know if that was the best pun he should have used. Into a ship. Into a 70-year-old ship. He realized that was a very bad financial decision. And, you know, he wanted just to put one more authentic thing out into the world. And upon hearing that, Imogen goes, oh, I'm sorry. I can Venmo you for lunch. And they giggle. And he looks to her now and asks her to share, you know, her deepest, darkest secret. And she looks at him and tells him, I prefer Hot Pockets. I like a good Hot Pocket every now and again. And he just kind of like rolls his eyes and realizes what time it is, and they have to go get going because they have the meeting. And we are now at the board meeting on the boat between the Colliers and the Chuns. And the Chuns are like, this is our best offer, and that is it. We will give you a $3 billion infusion into your company, but we want 51% of the company. And everyone is freaking out. Anna doesn't like it. I don't know if Tripp fully knows what's happening. Catherine and Llewellyn are like, fuck no, that's not happening. Like, this was not part of the deal. And they're getting up, about to leave. And Mr. Collier is like, no, I'm not leaving. And Anna's like, come on, Dad, let's go. And he goes, no, we wanted to close this deal. We are closing the deal. And Llewellyn's like, tells Mr. Collier, you put Anna in charge. Like, she's in charge. And pretty much Mr. Collier is like, over my dead body, I am still here. I'm closing on the deal. And he's going to do it. He put Anna in that position of power, but I'm still here. I'm going to do it. And they shake on it. So the deal is done. They are moving on. And Tripp goes, so we're not broke? And Llewellyn goes, no, just broken. So, like, they have money, but it's not their money now. Or they do not have control over their company. Sucks to sucks. Anna looks at Tripp and goes, Tripp? And he goes, of course I have cocaine. Like, that's all she had to say was his name with an inflection. And he's like, yeah, I have drugs. So that's how they feel. We now see Layla sleuthing through her room with like a, it looks like a stud finder, but it probably is trying to detect like camera waves. It's a machine that's trying to detect like hidden cameras and stuff. And she's combing through her room and it's kind of beeping, and then it like gets a hot beep sensor thing in the corner of her room across from her bed. And we know the camera is there because in other episodes we've seen the security camera. We've seen that it is pointed to their bed and has caught their sexy times. Rufus and Teddy has now joined her. And Teddy tells her that that's not one of our cameras. We didn't put cameras in the guest room. We just put them in the halls, public areas for like security reasons. But we didn't put any in guest rooms because that's That's silly. Like, the invasion of privacy, what you do in your room. Yes, it could be illegal. None of our business. And she mentioned, or he mentions, someone put that there, and it could be someone who works on the boat, but obviously not Winnie. And Rufus asks Teddy for a list of people who were on board before they set sail. So he wants a list of all of the crew, anyone who was on the boat before the boat left the dock, and who have possibly could have worked on it and implanted this camera in the corner of the room. We were in the park with Sunil and Imogen, and they're meeting his accounting friend, and she's looking at the receipt. There's no date on it, but, like, she'll figure it out. She'll find it. She's like, I can find out what they had for lunch on that day. Like, I'm your girl. I will comb through it. And it's just going to take time. And she wants to take the blue receipt with her. And Imogen's like, no, you can't have that. And the woman's like, I need it. And Imogen's like, can't you take a photo of it? Can't you copy it? And Imogen is spiraling because this is the only clue she has to her mother's murder. And it's a lifeline. It's what she's holding on. It seems like it could be the last possible link to her mother. And Sunil's like, she's the best of the best. She will find the answers. Just let her take it. So Imogen agrees and says, if she loses it, I'll sink your ship, bud. And I believe her. And he's like, yeah, damn. And as they're walking back, I'm assuming to the docks, Imogen looks over her shoulder and she mentions the gentleman in the white suit. They're being followed. She tells Sunil, I also saw him in the garden. And now they are trying to evade him. They stop at a little stand. They pick up a hat. They both pick up, like, big sun hats and scarves and join a group of people. But the guy kind of sees them and they're weaving in and out. Eventually, they hop into a cab together and Imogen, like, lands on top of Sunil. Again, you can feel the sexual tension between them. They close the door and the gentleman in the white suit comes up to the taxis and doesn't see him and he's looking around. Sunil tells the driver, the docks, please. And the taxi drives away. And they have lost the gentleman in the white suit. Llewellyn and Alexandria are in an elevator and she asks him about the photos of her and Trip. And Llewellyn's like, what are you on? And she's like, no, but I think you sent someone to follow because he was on a bender and took those photos. And Llewellyn's like, well, we knew he was on a bender, but we wouldn't ruin our own family, pretty much is what he's getting at. And she, again, threatens the family. She threatens Llewellyn and tells him she knows things that could destroy them. And he's like, okay, go for it. And as he's walking down the hall, he runs into Agent Hilda Erickson. And she is waiting for him. And she tells him she has another arrest to make. And he gets closer because he's intrigued. And she asks him, why does he deserve to be punished? And we now see Alex back in her room. And she's going into her safe. And she grabs what looks like a file. It's blue. And she opens it up. And I paused it to try and read what the first paper says. And it looks like it says State of Washington v. Collier Mills Company. So it's a legal document of some sorts. And it could be sealed and she's going to release it. But that's what it was hard to read, but that's what it looked like it says. When you hit pause on Hulu, the screen goes kind of dark and pulls up the time section. So it was a little hard to read. Sunil and Imogen are headed back to the boat. And she asks him to stop, before they get back, like, can you stop for a moment? And she apologizes for blowing him off. And I'm assuming that means, like, all the times they could have made out and didn't. And she goes on to explain she's been mind-fucked by working with Rufus. She has spent the last years hating this man. She's scared to be alone. And he made her feel like everything will be okay. And then he left. And she hates that. And she admits her deep, dark secret is she cried harder on the day Rufus left her than the day her mother died. And that's probably because he promised he would always be there and solve it. And it didn't follow through. And when the day her mother died, she said goodbye and that was it. She didn't know what was going to happen. Her mother left. And he looks at, Sunil looks at Imogen and goes, wow, that sounds awful. But I still win. And she kind of like chuckles at it. He's trying to break the ice, make her feel better. And he kisses her. And she kisses him right back. We are now back with Rufus, Layla, and Teddy. And they're in the security office. And they're looking up the crews to kind of see who fits the timeline where. And 2/3 of the crew fall into that window he's looking at. And, you know, there are key cards used to access Deck 5. And as Teddy is kind of saying all this stuff to him, Rufus is looking at a map. And he notices on the map pins with strings connecting them. You know, they're down near South America. Some are in North America on both the East and West Coast. Some are in Europe. Some are on the East Coast of Asia. So, like, near Hong Kong. And he goes to a map of the ship and he asks, he points to something where it is. And Teddy tells him that's Deck C, 2 floors below. And then he asks her where the water line on the ship is. And I'm assuming that means where the water hits on the ship. And she tells him, oh, well, that's B deck. And he goes, it can't be that obvious. And just kind of leaves and just like walks away. And Teddy and Layla look at themselves. They're like, what? And they follow him. And we hear Rufus say, Argentina, Hong Kong. And as he's walking down the hall, he's dragging an axe behind him. And it looks like it's more of a, it's below the deck where all the crew may stay, or a lot of the like electrical panels, stuff regular guests would not be going to. And he goes, Victor Sams is everywhere and nowhere. And Rufus is like, how does he have such a large operation and no one knows? Like, how is this possible? And he's walking the halls and he questions, like, why are these halls so narrow? And he's, well, one hand is holding the axe. The other hand is like rubbing against the wall because he's probably trying to feel something. And he stops. He picks up this axe and he just starts smashing it into the wall. And it leads to a room. And it's glowing blue. It looks like it's probably some sort of electrical computer circuity thing. And he says, hiding in plain sight. And Rufus, Teddy, and Layla are all looking in. Again, this room is glowing blue. So I'm wondering if it's like computer screens or something. Or like a big computer chip. I don't know. And Layla says, that's not surveillance equipment. And Rufus is like, no, it's the whole bloody operation. And then the episode is over. It goes to credits. And it was a really good episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it. My thoughts are the man in the white suit, I want to say, isn't following them because he works for Victor Sands. Sams, I'm wondering if he's following them for like protection, maybe like following Imogen to make sure she stays safe. Like he's protecting her from Victor Sams. I don't know. That's just a thought. Or maybe he is following her because he works for Victor Sams. I don't know. I am still very confused, but I love this show. And if you love this show, I would love if you would rate, like, and review wherever it is you listen to podcasts. I would love that so much. I've said love at least half a dozen times. So if you take a shot every time I say it, you're going to be a little fucked up. And follow the pod on Instagram. It's something.about.podcast. I post some fun stuff on there. Not related to much, but related to everything. And I'm trying to think if there's any other updates. Still haven't found a Jeep Wrangler I like. We did look. It wasn't that good. The photos were very deceiving, as any photos would be. Let's be real. We all take photos of ourselves and things at certain angles because we like it. And yeah, that's all for now. Talk to y'all later. Bye.